chapter 1. We finally finished the book of Matthew. Now we are going to study Revelation. Chapter 1, please. Chapter 1, Revelation. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a joy this is to get together with your people. We are asking for you. Your name be glorified in the midst of us. Open our heart to receive your word, to understand your truth, and guide us, and give us wisdom to understand. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, by the way, inductive Bible study, David already mentioned, would you please read Book of John, not 1 John, not 2 John, Book of John, chapter 2. Several times, at least minimum of 3 times, John chapter 2. We are going to study inductive Bible study. Some of you are going to know the inductive Bible study, but some of you don't. What's the inductive Bible study? It's a way to study the Bible without commentary. You need to know how to study the Bible without commentary. Using commentary is like using chichi. Already somebody worked on it. So it's good to use comment. Nothing wrong with using commentary, but you need to know how to study the Bible by yourself. And then you use commentary. I will show you how to study Bible without commentary, whereby using observation, interpretation, and application method. It is very important. It's a good thing for you to learn. All right, let's study the Revelation. American humorist Josh Billings said once, never to prophesy. If your prophecy is correct, if your prophecy is wrong, nobody will forget it. But if your prophecy is correct, nobody will remember it. Either way, you're doomed. So never to prophesy, because it is difficult to prophesy. Many people claim that they know the future. Do they really know the future? No. There's only one person who knows the future. Who would that be? That's God. So if you are reading psychic whatever thing, 1-900, and you spend ganga money on that thing, by the way, that's a $1 billion industry, and you use tarot card or fortune telling or horoscope on the newspaper, some people even will not get out of their bed until they read the horoscope. If you're depending on the horoscope, you are sadly mistaken. Don't even venture to go out that direction, because that's nothing more than a demonic thing. So from this day on, you will not go to that kind of thing. But get into the Word of God. God will tell you about your future and my future. Book of Revelation is known as a difficult book. It's hard to understand. So a lot of Bible teachers or pastors try to stay away from it, and they rather go on with their own pet talk. And some people say, well, it's hard to understand. The reason why it's hard to understand, because we don't dig enough. If you choose to understand the Word of God, God will expound it into your heart for you to understand. And there is another group of people who will say, wow, I love the Book of Revelation study because it's almost like a crystal ball so we can know the future. First of all, crystal ball doesn't do the little squat for you. It doesn't give you any future. It's just, if you drop on your toe, it will hurt you. That's about it. So crystal ball, this is not a crystal ball. And this is not to satisfy our prophetic desire or to quench the thirst of prophetic things. However, this is to know the Word of God and to know what's about it. True definition of the Book of Revelation is not revelation of the future. However, it is revelation of Jesus Christ. Roman Emperor Domitian, who is an egomaniac, like his predecessor Nero, he wanted to be worshipped as God. So he decided that he should be worshipped, and he made everybody in his empire to worship him every year. They had a festival, and they to come to him in altar and burn the incense and offer the incense. However, this brings Christian, born again Christian, into dilemma. Why? If we acknowledge this crazy maniac as the Lord God, then we are denying the one true God, Jesus Christ. How same time, if we deny him, guess what happened? It's a certain persecution and even death are waiting for them. One of the millions of people who are persecuted and get killed is one of them is Apostle Paul. Apostle John. Apostle Paul too, but in this case, Apostle John. He was there and he got arrested promptly and he was thrown into the pot of oil, hot burning oil, to kill him alive, with boiling him alive. However, God's intervention kept him alive and realized his failed attempt, and so Domitian banished him into the island Patmos. It's a barren and rocky, seemingly God-forsaken place. Nobody cared. However, that's where he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the historical background. In a way, that's the same way for all of us. The things I learned about Jesus Christ, it's not something I learned from the commentary of the Bible. It's not something I learned from the teaching CD or tapes. But I learned from my own island of Patmos, my own difficulty, my own tribulation. As I go through, as you go through the difficult time, that's when we get to know Jesus. Now, we have a choice. When we go through, when we are in our own island of Patmos, we have a choice to launch the spiritual rebellion, or we can draw close to him and receive the revelation of Jesus Christ. Can we receive a revelation of Jesus Christ? Not the same kinds, but get to know him. The meaning of a revelation must be understood. The revelation means, the verb of the revelation is what? Reveal, unveiled, understanding. So to get to know Jesus, that is our own revelation of Jesus Christ. We all need to do that. If you choose not to learn about him, you will never get to know him. Because there is one way to get to know him, there's another way to run away from him and never get to know him. This outlining is rather interesting. As I said before, the inductive Bible study helps us to outline the portion of the Bible we study. When I read this the book of Revelation, it pretty much outlined by itself in verse 19 of chapter 1. Let's go to the verse 19 of chapter 1, please. That would be page 2166, if you have a Bible like mine. Okay, verse 19 says, "Write the things which you have seen," underline that portion, and put the right next to it, chapter 1, please. And the things which are, the things which are, the things which are. That's, and write chapter 2 and 3. And the things which will take place after this. And write chapter 4 through 22, please. I said chapter 1. And chapter 1 talks about the supremacy of Jesus Christ. That's the summary of the chapter 1. Chapter 2 and 3 is letters to the seven churches. And from chapter 4 to chapter 22, we find out God's judgment and heavenly kingdom on earth too. All right. Remember how the scripture unfolded at the Genesis? Remember when the man and woman sinned against God, and God was telling him and her that what will happen to them. And also he mentioned about this to serpent. Deliverer will come as a seed of the woman. He will deliver us. That hope was given to from Adam to generation down to Abraham. And Abraham that gave hope to who? Isaac. Isaac to Jacob. And Jacob to the 12 sons. This was beautifully illustrated in the book of Exodus. delivered them out of that slave land, Egypt, to the promised land. Now, Judges waited for them, longed for them, and it was exemplified in the Kings, and it was prophesied in the major and minor prophets out of the Old Testament. Finally, it was fulfilled in the New Testament of the Gospels. And it was expounded in the epistles of the apostles and throughout the New Testament. Finally, here is the climax of the book of Revelation. I just summed up the whole Bible. How about that? It's hardly a book of a fantasy, and the Revelation cut the heart of our deepest yearning and the questions about the life of Jesus Christ. There's four approaches about the Revelation we must understand. Number one is idealist. What is the idealist? It says that they view the image non-literally and spiritualize symbol that present timeless truth. So they think it's just a nice thing. They are looking at this book allegorically. There's two ways to look at the Bible in general way. One is allegorically, another one is literally. In Calvary Chapel, we look at the Bible, pretty much everything in a literal format. What it says, what it means what it says. Okay? If you start doing allegorical way, you can make your own doctrine, you can make your own religion, you can be your own Messiah. So allegory is okay, but it can be very dangerous if you don't stay in the context. Second approach in unlock the mystery of Revelation is they call it preterist, P-R-E-T-E-R-I-S-T-S, preterist. They limit the meaning of book in original to the original leaders, Caesars and Roman people and the first century people. So in other words, they're limiting the whole truth of the book of Revelation in the first century only, and it does not apply to the rest of people like us. Third form approach is historicist. They see the book as a historical timeline from the century on, and they are correct in chapter 2 and 3. The last approach would be futurist. They view the book as primarily chapter from chapter 4 to chapter 22 as what's going to happen in the end time. And this is the approach we are going to take, because from chapter 4 to chapter 22, we will see the things that not happened yet. There's three guidelines we must observe in the book of Revelation. Why, you might ask, why are you going through these boring things? We must understand this guideline, these approaches. If we don't do that, we're going to go into wrong side of the study. So this is the first thing. First guideline, number one, don't overanalyze the details. Don't overanalyze the details. It's easy to lose the central theme of the book of Revelation. What is the book of Revelation is about? Remember what I said? It's a revelation of who? Jesus, not future things to happen. It's about Jesus Christ. We are going to learn. We studied Matthew for 43 studies. Did you know that? We had 43 studies. If you've been here all throughout the entire book of Matthew, you pretty much gained extra insight for the book of Matthew. Matthew, we learned about what Jesus have done. But now we are going to learn about Jesus, what he's going to do. So we're going from one end to the other end. Second thing, oh, by the way, Pastor Chuck Smith said, is a very interesting thing. If you don't understand what you know, if you don't know what you are supposed to do, go back to what you know. So the best way to understand the book of Revelation is cross-reference. Using cross-reference, how many of you guys have a treasury of scripture knowledge? The book Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. How many of you guys have never heard that before? How many of you guys don't care? Got to be somewhere in between. Many of you didn't raise hand. Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. If you have a Bible software, most likely you do have it. If you have a Treasury of Scripture Knowledge, it will show you all the cross-reference Bible verses. How many of you guys have one of those Bible, has a little margin in the middle, has all these funny-looking verses in it? That is like a cross-reference verse. This one, Treasury of Scripture Knowledge, is more exalted, expounded version. So it's a good thing to have. If you are going to study the Bible, Treasury of Scripture Knowledge must. Second guideline is be careful not to read too much of our world into the text. Okay? Be careful not to read too much of our world into the text. What do I mean? You know, remember, some of you guys know about the Revelation better than I do. So Apostle Paul mentioned there will be a locust and hail. That locust, he doesn't mean that it will be fighter jet, and the hail doesn't mean nuclear fallout. Hail means hail, locust means locust. Okay? Don't try to look everything into the things that is not what he meant. And a lot of times people think that, okay, how did this mark of beast? Is that a tattoo on the forehead, or is it a tattoo on the back of hand, or is it microchips? We'll get there, but it's not. I'm not going to put so much emphasis on that because I don't know. I'm guessing. I make a good guess, but we don't know. So we are not going to put so much emphasis on it. We are not going to waste so much time on that. Another thing, some people are real curious about the who identity of an Antichrist. I'll give you this much. I don't care. Why do you want to know about the Antichrist? But spend that time to know about Jesus Christ. Am I making sense to you? Antichrist is a scum. He's not worth anything. He's a Satan's a henchman. So he's not worth anything. So spend that time to know about your Savior. So we are not going to overemphasize the things that is not important. And we are not going to... We're going to be careful with the... So we don't read the things that is not applying to the text. Scripture is best interpreted with the scripture. So that cross-reference is a very important thing. And third guideline is emphasize the message behind the image. Emphasize the message behind the image. For example, Apostle Paul described Christ as being having a sharp edge, two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. Now, if you look at, how many of you guys have seen the picture of Jesus Christ with the many crowns on his head? I don't know how he wore all seven crowns on his head. And he's riding on the white horse, and his mouth is open. There's a sharp-edged sword coming out. That's not literal. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7 says, the word of God is powerful and living in the sharp, what? Two-edged sword. What he meant, what the Word of God says in the book of Revelation, to that sharp sword is nothing more than the Word. How do I know? Let's go back to Genesis. He created heaven and earth with what? Word. Simple word. He didn't try like Edison, Thomas Edison, trying to create this filament and the light bulb. He just simply said, let there be light. So there was a light. And we try. God doesn't try. God make it happen in one time. Let's go to verse 1. After all that introduction, let's go to verse 1 of chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God has have given to show his servant, and things which must shortly, underline shortly, please, take place. And he sent and signified it by his angels to his servant John, who bore the witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ and to all the things that he saw. As I said, the word revelation means unveiling, and we get the word apocalypse. That's all, folks. Let's go home. This word means a revealing, unveiling the truth of Jesus Christ. This is about the future, and Revelation, as I said before, Revelation is not written to quench the thirst of our prophetic desire, but is to reveal the identity of Jesus Christ, what's going to happen. This is the definition, verse 1 we just read. Revelation is, some people said, it's a closed book, it has a code in there. Let me make it very clear to you. Book of Revelation is an open book. It's a revealing book. So all you have to do is just study and dig a little deeper, and you'll get everything you need to know. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 said that he was told to seal the book. However, in chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, Apostle John was told, what? Do not seal. Leave it open so that we may understand. And I ask you to underline the word shortly. This shortly come to pass in the Greek word entakos, E-N, and the next word is T-A-C-H-O-S. My pastor Robert Furr from Calvary Tucson said, when you pronounce the Greek word, just pronounce it with confidence. Nobody will know the difference because it's a Greek. So entakos, there you have it. The entakos turned into the word we use, tachometer. You know, the speed, some of you guys know that car well, they show the RPM. It shows the speed of the engine. As we go the farther, and the speed is increasing so much that we don't know how to handle it. Okay, at the beginning when you start the car, do you go from the 0 to 60 in like that? If you have that kind of car, let me try it. Even the Ferrari, the $250,000 car, go to from 0 to 60 about 5 seconds. That's a short distance. Now, let's put it this way. This shortly is abruptly happened at no time like that. So you will see the sign gradually, but eventually you will see all of a sudden there's in your face. Let me make an example. Let's say we're going to take an old trip. Everybody get in the bus. We're taking off from here, from the Tucson. We got to I-10 and heading to east. We're going to go to Houston. I don't know why, but we're going to go to Houston. So we are driving. Until we get to the El Paso, you will not see the sign called says Houston. Why? Because nobody cares about Houston from here to El Paso. When you pass the El Paso, you will see the one sign says Houston, how many miles. From here to the Houston is about 1,100 miles. Until you get to the El Paso, you don't see anything. And then when you pass the El Paso, you see one sign. And then when you get to Fort Stockton, Texas, you will see another sign. And when you pass Fort Stockton, while you're passing Kerrville, Texas, you will start to see sign to Houston more frequently. And when you pass the San Antonio, all of a sudden you will see the sign every 50 miles. And then all of a sudden you will see, welcome to Houston. What happened? That sign, you didn't see the sign. At the beginning of Jesus Christ, his ministry, AD 33, you didn't see a whole lot of sign. 1900, you only saw one sign. 19th century. In the 20th century, all of a sudden you see the sign left and right. 1948, Israel become the nation. And all the technology is increasing, and the things happening in the Middle East, all of a sudden you are seeing the sign one after another. You follow me so far? Oh, you don't care. You better care because it's your future. So the Word of God is the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's why the Apostle John was end up in the island of Patmos. And that's why some of you get in trouble, because they persecute you. And those who are in jail in other countries because the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, because they are living for that thing. Verse 3. Blessed is he who read and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. The reason for the book of this is the reason for the book of Revelation. In this promise, anyone who hear, teach, and anyone who does the things that what the revelation will be blessed. John did not send this book of prophecy to the assembly just to satisfy their desire to know the future, but by hearing the word, doing the word, they will be blessed. remember that James said, and don't be a hearer only, but be a what? Doer. That is Christianity, ladies and gentlemen. This is not something we don't get together here to not make another notch on our spiritual belt so that we can tell other people this much I know about Bible. That's not what we want to do. That's what the Pharisees did. If you want to be like a Pharisees, stay at course. But if you want to be Christ-like, do what the Word of God says. You follow me? Let's go to verse 4. John, the seven churches which are in Asia, the grace to you and peace from him, underline him, who is and who was and who is to come. Underline whole thing, please. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, firstborn from the dead. Underline firstborn from the dead. And the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, has made us kings and priests to his God and the Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Seven churches, they are located in the southwestern Turkey now, and they are under the Roman province of Asia. Seven, you will hear this number often in the book of Revelation. Seven is a fulfillment and completeness. You will hear the seven trumpets, seven seals, seven bowls, seven stars, and seven lampstands. Grace and peace unto you. Don't ever think that that's a what's up, equivalent to the what's up. It's not just a greeting. This is the salutation. It's more than just salutation. You cannot have a peace until you have received the grace of Jesus Christ. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you don't know the grace of God, you will never be able to have a peace of God in your heart. And if you are looking for that peace, you will not be able to find that peace from anywhere in the world, not in your heart, not in the psychology book, not in anywhere else except Jesus Christ. He said, peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, I give unto you. Let you not be hard troubled, be afraid. That is the peace, but you cannot have it until you receive grace. As I said before, Book of Revelation chapter 1 talks about supremacy of Jesus Christ. See, when I asked you on the line, the firstborn from the dead, firstborn, and some of the cultists will say, aha, see, Jesus Christ didn't exist. He had to be born. That's not true. Let me put it this way. Who is our first lady? Who is our first lady? Laura Bush. Is she the first woman ever born? Then why do we call her first lady? That's a title. This is the title. Firstborn of the of the dead, from the dead, that means that's a title. So Jesus Christ is, this is a title for Jesus Christ, and scripture speak not precedence, but preeminence. Okay? And also he declared that I am, that I am. Father declared that he is I am that I am in the Old Testament. And we find the same thing in the book of Revelation, time after time. Let's go to verse 7 and 8. Behold, he is coming with a cloud, and every eye will see, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Underline that portion, and it's just right on the side of your Bible, says second coming, not rapture. Okay, this is second coming. Even so, amen, I am, this is Jesus speaking, I am the Alpha and Omega. What is the Alpha and Omega? It's the Greek alphabet, the first word and the last word. And he repeats the same thing. The beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was, who is to come, and Almighty. This is a very important verse for you to put in your heart. Just remember the location. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Why? Because all the cults has one thing in common. What is it? Denying the deity of Jesus Christ. They deny that Jesus Christ is not God. Jehovah's Witness And the Mormons are the same thing. They say that Jesus Christ is an angel or the offspring, and he's not. Keep your finger right there. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 44, please. Isaiah chapter 41, I'm sorry. Keep your finger right there. Isaiah is right before Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 4. Are you there? Are you there yet? You heard that while you're taking a vacation, right? From your kid. Who has performed and done it, and calling the generation from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am He. As the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormon people, who is this I am? And they will say Jehovah, even though they will say God the Father. Go to chapter 44, verse 6, please. 44, verse 6. A few pages behind. One more. Thus says the Lord, it's obvious, King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of the hosts, I am what? The first, I am the last. Beside me, there is no God. Rather simple. Let's go to chapter 48, verse 12. Are you writing this down so you can remember the verses? 48, verse 12 says, listen to me, O Jacob, who is speaking. Again, God. Israel and Israel, my called. I am He, capital He. I am the first, also, and I am also the last. All right, let's go to Revelation chapter 21. All the way back, chapter 21, verse 6 and 7. So far, they have to say this is the Jehovah God, or that this is God the Father. Verse 6 says, He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end. I will give of the foundation of the water life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Who is that? Jehovah God or God the Father? Then go back to chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Read that portion, and let's read it, verse 8. Let's go start from verse 7. Behold, he is coming with a cloud, and every eye will see, even they who, what? Pierced. Who got pierced? Jesus on the cross. Pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen, I am the Alpha and Omega, and the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Jesus is God. Jesus is a deity. This pretty much sums up everything about who he is. Let's make an application. Number one, the tribulation you may be going through even now has one purpose, to know him intimately. Not only the good time, power of resurrection, also share a fellowship of his suffering. It brings a fuller revelation of Jesus Christ into our lives. Second application, we must understand all the cults deny the deity of Jesus Christ, and their Jesus is not the same Jesus as your Jesus. So if they say that, Mormons say that they are Christian, tell them very clear to you, to them, gently, in love, your Jesus is not the same Jesus as mine, and you are not a Christian. Be gentle, but yet be firm. Third application, we must remember that all things happen in our lives are under control of God, Jesus Almighty God. He allowed things happen. He allowed you to be in the island of Patmos of your own. He allowed you to go through the tribulation. He allowed you to go through difficulty. Why? to make you more like Him. As I said before, probably I will repeat this many more times, God is not interested in making you feel good. He cares about your character like Jesus more than your comfort. He wants you to be like Jesus. Okay? Let's stand up and pray.